Well, my good friend and neighbor, this is Phil Nee. We put the wraps on our morning records. We'll be back your way a little bit later on with some community conversation on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. It's 57 degrees. The time is 9 o'clock. And an update is next from ABC News, sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, a full-service jewelry store featuring a wide variety of styles, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The highest severe weather risk is in effect for multiple long-track tornadoes this afternoon and into this evening for central Oklahoma and southern Kansas. Following last week's protests, Columbia University has canceled its university-wide graduation ceremony and says there'll be smaller celebrations for individual schools. ABC's Matt Gutman in Los Angeles says this follows another major university similar decision.
And USC, which has canceled its graduation and forbidden its Muslim valedictorian from speaking, now announcing a major graduation party here at the Coliseum for the class of 2024.
Pro-Palestinian demonstrations continue on college campuses in the Middle East. Hopes are fading for a ceasefire as Israel tells civilians to leave the southern Gaza city of Rafah, which could indicate an imminent offensive. And former President Trump will be back in court this morning for the third week in his criminal trial. This is ABC News. The tragedy in New Jersey, where a state trooper died in a training exercise over the weekend. There's no word yet on the cause of death. President of France hoping his Chinese counterpart can help end the war in Ukraine. President Emmanuel Macron hosting Chinese leader Xi Jinping for a two-day summit. He promises to urge Xi to pressure Russia to end the war. Meanwhile, Russia's stepping up drills with nuclear weapons.
The Kremlin saying nuclear drills have been ordered by Russian President Putin in response to what it says are provocative Western threats. The announcement comes just days after French President Emmanuel Macron discussed the possibility of sending troops to Ukraine if Kyiv requests backup. UK Foreign Secretary David Cameron also recently raised the possibility Ukraine could use British weapons on targets inside Russia. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
It's official, a new snowfall record for the Sierra Nevada. The University of California says a recent storm dumped more than 2 feet of snow in some areas in one day. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Good morning, this is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. Mother's Day is May 12th, and we have the perfect gift to celebrate your mom, or the mother of your children, grandmother, or a special lady. From birthstone jewelry to family jewelry and beautiful earrings at Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep fried or baked fish. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world. And after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best. Open at 10 Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, the area's go-to spot for good times and great food. Today's forecast calls for a high of 73 with sunshine, turning cloudy and breezy tonight, a low of 53, possibly a thunderstorm after midnight. Tomorrow morning, some rain early and then a high of 74. And Wednesday, still mild 73 with showers possible by evening. Currently in WRCO country with sunshine, it is 58 degrees.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For generations, the Cairns family has been rooted in Richland County as small business owners. At Julie Cairns State Farm, you will find a local, dedicated team that leads with honest intentions to properly protect you. Yes, saving money is important, yet so is doing business with local professionals that will be there when you need them. We're here to participate in your lives, in our community's growth, and in helping create opportunities to make positive changes. Yes, you can save money, and yes, we will offer you remarkable service. Yet most importantly, our core values will make you proud to do business with us. Like a good neighbor, Julie Cairns State Farm is there.
Hello, my name is Brandy Anderson, Richland County Health Officer. Did you know that most addictions start in adolescence? Teens and young adults' brains are still developing until age 25, so it's important to be there for them and support their health. Wisconsin Social Host Law is in place to protect our young people. Get tools and tips at the Partners for Prevention Coalition of Richland County's website.
Hey guys, I've devised a plan to find better home internet. Kids, you scout the web for the best deals. Honey, you monitor our projected data usage.
Or we could avoid that hassle and go with U.S. Cellular's home internet. There's no guesswork, and their internet's faster than ever.
U.S. Cellular new and improved home internet. Just $34.99 when bundled with a wireless plan.
Terms apply. Visit cellplus.com for details.
What are you paying for home internet? It's time to save and head to your nearest local U.S. Cellular store. See us in Richland Center, Spring Green, Reedsburg, and Viroqua.
Welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio for a Monday. I'm Phil Nee, and joining us in studio today is the mayor of the City of Richland Center, Mr. Todd Coppernall. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Hey, Phil. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Great day outside.
Oh, isn't it beautiful?
It is good. I think they said 72 today. It's always great this time of year when it's nice out, but not that real hot, humid thing yet.
Sure.
From now through mid-June, I think, is the best weather we get.
You bet. New life. We were out on the Pine River Recreation Trail on Saturday, and it was just amazing, all the wildlife out there, and things are green and growing, and it's a good time.
Yeah, I took my UTV out. I took Kim on a ride yesterday. We went up to Rockton, and we wound through the county, through Richland County, and then Vernon County, and boy, you're right, everything really popped and turned green, and it's fun to see that every spring, and we're there now.
No doubt. So you were recently sworn in officially for your next term.
I am now in my third term as Richland Center's mayor. Thank you very much to the voters. Humbling, wonderful experience. I'll say right now, this will absolutely be my last term as mayor. I think, for one thing, people could probably assume this, but it's true. Serving as mayor does take a lot out of you. It never leaves your mind if you're in it for the right reasons. And the past mayors who hear me right now, they know what I'm saying. If you're good at it, you think about it all the time. And there are 5,100 people to consider. It's a heavy burden. It's worth it. I'm glad I did it. I'll always be grateful for it. But I also think, you know, when I watch the news and I see elected officials, this is primarily about Washington, but not exclusively. When you see people who clearly just hung on too long, and they shouldn't be there anymore, and they are because they don't have term limits. I think it's important sometimes to have the common sense to set your own term limits and just say this was never a lifetime appointment. Do your job and then let someone else have their turn. And that's how it'll go for me. Three terms is uncommon as it is. Most of our mayors, if you look through the city's history, didn't do three or more. There are a few who have, but not many. And I think there's a reason for that too. You know, it's a lot. And so I'll just make it known right now. I don't think there's any harm in that. Thank you to the voters for the opportunity. I'm back again to try to complete some projects I had a lot of involvement in and still do. Things that I think can help the city move forward and grow. And that's why I ran one more time. And thank you for the opportunity. This will be my final term as mayor.
When you were here and you were campaigning, we had you on back in March, Todd, and you were looking ahead at some projects that you wanted to see completed. What's your biggest thing you're looking forward to or goals you have for this last term then?
Well, there are a few. Okay. One is that we believe in the very near future we'll be able to finalize an agreement to get 92 new apartments built, Panorama Estates. That's the apartments. There's one building across from the high school in the campus there on the hillside there. And that original agreement did call for three buildings over a period of years, and some new builders have gotten involved and have indicated their willingness, desire to build buildings two and three simultaneously, which they want to break ground on this year. I believe they told me it's a 13-month build. That's close if it's not accurate. And they want to get going. And we're at the point now where the developer's agreement has been prepared by the city attorney and is now being, it's in the hands of the builder's attorney for review. And this is standard procedure. You know, it's a big project, several millions of dollars invested by the builders. So obviously they're going to be thoughtful, as is the city. And once we get a little further here and the both sides are ready to sign off, we'll get the document signed, approved. It needs to be approved by the city council, but at that point then would be signed. And these folks tell me they'll be ready to build, to begin building within just a few weeks of signing that. So closing in on that one. Another one, there's a group that bought some land in town that tells me they want to build 23 houses over a period of the next few years, with at least one, if not two or three, coming this year. I haven't had a fresh update. Their original quote to me last fall was that they might build three this year, but there will be 23 total in that project that we're working on. And there's a lot of work to do. These people are professionals, experienced. They know what they're doing. They've done this many times, and they've done everything we've asked them to do so far. They've been excellent to work with. So I believe that will happen, but there are more steps to take. It's always complex when you're building houses. They're not cheap to build. The infrastructure is not inexpensive or easy to put in. So there are steps in there, but we believe it'll happen. And I just need to be a little careful here. There are a couple of retail businesses of note that have expressed an interest in the city. And those things also are complex, because then you get into, where would they be located? Are they looking to lease? Are they looking to build? If they're along a highway, for instance, the Department of Transportation is going to have their say. How do they feel about it? If they're building, what was on the land before? Do you need the DNR out here to check the soil? All of these kind of things can come into play. So we don't have answers on any of these things. None of them are promised. None of them are guaranteed. But all of them are real possibilities, not just thoughts or just early conversations. They all have a shot. And I've been in the middle of a lot of that with the people around me, with the city council, with the city administrator, with the economic development director, and so forth. And all of us are fully committed to these things, and we're doing the things we can control to try to get them done.
Well, always lots of talk and rumors, you know, that's been happening for since the beginning of time, basically.
Right. When I was about 10, believe me, if you asked the people in town, it was an absolute certainty that Kmart was coming to Richland Center. I must have heard it 100 times.
Really? I don't know if I ever heard that.
Oh, yeah. In the field that is now next to Jones Chevrolet. Done deal, Phil. Didn't you know that?
Uh-oh.
Around 76 or 77. Absolutely going to happen. They haven't broke ground yet, but I believe those people, Phil. They wouldn't just say that.
Kmart? They must be going to start again then.
They were coming way back then, and everybody knew it. So, and it, obviously that didn't happen, and I heard that one a lot back in those days. So yeah, the rumor mill never turns off. I'm very aware.
So you talked about 23 new houses. Would that be just all over the city, or would it be in one location?
Yeah, one area. It's, I guess the best way to say it, they've said it, is sort of, best way I would explain it, behind Ellison Park, up on the top, land that the Wheat family had begun to develop at one point, oh, maybe 15 years ago or so, and it didn't get finished. I wasn't living here then. I don't really know the details. But back up there, if you know where Rainbow Drive is, sort of in that area up there.
Sure.
Yeah, and the folks purchased the land, and they've been doing what they need to do. They know what they need to do. They've done this a lot. And so they've been out here doing the work, trying to line everything up to do this. And they've been great. They've been working very well with our economic development director, getting him what he needs. Again, there's a lot of steps left to take. Nothing's guaranteed or promised, but there's a plan in place that's being developed, and we're very hopeful. There hasn't been anything that's come up to this point that would make me doubt that this will happen.
Yeah, when you've been on, or Jason Glassbrenner, whoever, you always talk about, you know, needing new housing and things like that. So that'd be a step in the right direction. And then the Panorama Estates, if you do get things turned around and the ink on the dotted line, you're talking 13 months, it could be available, what, next year sometime?
Yeah, sometime
then?
Next summer.
Yeah.
I guess at the latest, maybe fall of next year. And you're talking about 92 units.
Yeah.
That's got to be the biggest apartment development this city ever saw. And then you throw, if it happens, and again, don't get ahead of me. I'm telling you what we're working on, not what's done. But if you add 23 houses to 92 apartments, it's 115 new residences. And I mean, you count them for me. When's the last time that happened in Richland Center? And people all the time mention how our community seems to have a magnet attraction to the number 5,000 for the population. You know, you get to 5,100, we almost hit 52. Then we lost a few. You know, in 1970, I think the population was 5,086. And what are we now, 5,114?
Uh-huh.
28 people
gained
in 50,
a little bit.
In 50 years. And now we talk about the potential of 115 new residences. And let's go conservative and put two people in each one of them on average. Look at that, guys. That's population growth. And that feeds the next project, because that then in turn grabs the attention of builders and it grabs the attention of businesses. They say, wait a minute, there's growth down there. Maybe we need to look at that. This is all, it's like a wheel. It all ties together. One feeds the next. And that's why we're pursuing these things. And we'll do the best we can to get them done. You know, city officials, city employees, and so forth, we can do what we can do. There are variables we're not in control of, but we're doing the best we can to get these things done. And I'm glad to be part of it. It's why I came back and ran one more time.
City Council and the County Board, everybody kind of into place now for the next term and where they're going to serve, Todd.
Right. And I want to, on the County Board, thanks for that, Phil. I want to congratulate and thank two individuals. I'm going to start with Mr. Marty Brewer, who is still serving on the County Board and who had been the County Board Chair for the last several years. Marty was, in his time as County Board Chair, really, really great to me and reached out and tried to improve working relations between the city and the county. I did too, but to be honest, I mean, the first conversation I ever had with Marty, he initiated. We were walking into the courthouse for a meeting for the natatorium board that oversees the Simon Center, and he introduced himself to me in the parking lot at the courthouse and asked me to meet him for lunch shortly thereafter, which, you know, in the next few days, which we did. And it started a great process of trying to get to know each other better, not just the two of us, but employees on both sides of Main Street, county board members and city council members and on down the line, to look for potential collaboration, cost savings, all of this stuff. And you've seen some of it happen now. And so thank you and congratulations to Marty, who, as I said, is still on the county board. And then congratulations to a hard-earned, well-deserved opportunity that is now Mr. Dave Turk is the county board chair. And Dave has been, I don't know, 8 years, I'm guessing. I might have that wrong. Serving on the county board. He's a lifelong resident of the city. He's every bit as committed and passionate about Richland County as Marty is. So I don't think we'll have any fall off there in terms of commitment or effort at all. Just sincere effort. And Dave has been around the courthouse for a while now, and I think he earned the shot. And so congratulations to Dave Turk, who obviously was a longtime employee down here.
Yes.
And worked with you. And thank you and congratulations to Marty Brewer.
Who would have thought back in the day, you know, Todd Coppernall would grow up to be mayor and Dave Turk would grow up to be county board president? You know, it's funny how life turns sometimes, isn't it?
That is a Facebook photo that has to happen. I graduated from high school here in 1985, and Dave Turk graduated high school in 1986. And we both had close friends, but it's funny because if you want to talk about popular kids, not at all. I was about as popular as malaria in 1985. I mean, I had my close friends, and there still are, but I mean, it's sort of like getting on to prom court, homecoming court. Yeah, no. No.
You might have been on Court Street, maybe.
But yeah, that's right. Yeah, I could most likely to stand on the corner of Court Street, that kind of stuff. And Dave would tell you the same thing. And it's funny, here we are now, and all of those, as 50-somethings, right, all of those people who were our peers then, or as kids, as teenagers, and so sure we knew everything, here we are in our 50s, and they all tell us thank you and congratulations and we need you and all of this stuff. And Dave and I have talked about that. We laugh a little bit, like, boy, you, like you said, who'd have thought, here we are.
Well, that's great. You both do a great job. And you know, as you look at the future, the county board has some things coming up here, you know. And of course, recently in the news, the whole campus situation and UW-Platteville stepping away as of July 1st. And what's the latest, have you heard on anything on that, Todd?
Yeah, okay. A few things to say about the campus situation. I'll start by saying that in my opinion, the decisions made by the Board of Regents, by Mr. Rothman, whoever you want to assign the decisions to, have really put Richland County in a lousy position. I don't think that's any big secret, but, you know, the choice to to close this campus, and basically, here's the deadline, we're gone. And now that's happening, that's coming in other municipalities as well around the state with the two-year schools. When you are a small county and you own that land and those buildings, and at this point those buildings are aged, you know, they were built in the mid-60s, and they need work and so forth. You know, it's a tough, tough thing for more than one reason. Let's talk about county budget. Well, they're big choice. They've got to decide what to do. And wow, I mean, who was ready for that, right? What to do? You own multiple buildings that are now going to be empty. Simple things people don't think about. Just heating and cooling is a very expensive item in those buildings. And then you have the acreage, right? It's a lot of land too. And just, let's start with the easy stuff, just cutting the grass before you get complex. These are bigger projects that have to happen than people think. So the county's got their hands full with what to do out there. They know it. They've been working on it. They've got good people involved that will make good choices. They're just not going to be easy choices. And I'll say on behalf of the city that we are ready, willing, and able to assist the county in the ways that we can when they're ready for that. You know, that property exists within the city but is owned by the county. So there will come a point, I'm sure, when the city and the county are talking together about future plans out there. But first, the county's got a lot of sorting out to do before they'll even be ready for that. I know a lot of people in town that had connections one level or another to the campus. They worked there. They attended there. Their kids attended there. They met their spouse there. There's so many things. Went to performances at the Copper Top. You name, we can do this for a long time. There's still, and going to be for a while, a great deal of emotion around the closure of the campus, and that needs to be understood and respected. You can't blame anybody for being upset at what's happened. It's not a good thing for the community, and there's just, if you think about it, naturally going to be a great deal of emotion. The campus has been a fixture here for so long. You know, I'll be 57 in July, and I never remember a time when it wasn't there. And I have great memories from my 2 years out there, and I made lifelong friends out there. And John Poole was my boss. I have no doubt he's listening. Thank you for everything, John. Sorry I was a dumb kid at 19. I got over it.
We were all there.
Yeah. But I just wanted to say a couple of things on that. First of all, please be respectful of the people who are feeling that and expressing that. It's, I think, a natural, honest reaction to some very tough news. And then I have to say, it's okay to say it's not fair. It's okay to say a lot of things, but we're here. And that was then and this is now is not a very nice thing to say. And I say it with no heat on it. I'm not aiming it at anyone. I'm asking everyone to be respectful. But we have to acknowledge reality, which is we are now faced with the truth of having to move on that property. And I don't like it. I really don't like it. 10 of our family members attended out there, myself included. There's a long list from the late 60s up through 2016. You know, my mom wound up with a master's in education, won a state award, one of the best two math teachers in Wisconsin, started college there. There's a lot of these. My uncle Bernie Manning, a 40-year career at IBM as an engineer, started there, you know, and so many other stories and friendships and all of this stuff. So I'm not a fan of this, but now we just have to do some very hard work and move on, because obviously we're just not being given a choice. So, hats off to everybody who stepped up and ran for county board, and for the county employees and all of their committee members and all of the members of the public that are contributing ideas and thoughts. Nobody wanted to do this. And when I say that, I mean nobody wanted to do this. The elected people did not run for county board to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, the employees over there didn't say, boy, I hope someday they do this. You know, I certainly never did that at the city, and no one living in town was rooting for this. I can't imagine why they would. So everybody remember here, we're on the same side. It's not easy and it's not fun, but there's work that's going to have to be done. So when the county is ready for the city's participation, we'll be ready to provide. And in the meantime, I guess I'll just say this. I give all my best to everyone associated with the county who's left with a mess to fix.
The state allocated the $2 million, and that's kind of the other communities whose 2 years are shut down, kind of going through the same thing. You know, it was that, but now you're kind of left with the burden of the buildings, as you mentioned. So,
well, yeah. I don't have the details. The folks at the county will have. So I'll leave it to them to come down here and provide more information. But there's no way I believe the $2 million is going to cover what will have to be done out there.
Right.
I mean, I don't know that, okay? So like I said, we'll leave it to the county folks to come down here and give more information when they're ready to do that. But just looking from a distance, it just doesn't seem that way, like that would do that. And I can't, I don't know anything about what's happening in the other communities losing their schools. But yeah, I mean, here's $2 million. Thanks, we're gone. That's a pretty crappy thing to say to a community that supported the UW system for so long as well as we did.
Mm-hmm. Well, and speaking of that complex out there, the grounds out there, the Simons Recreation Complex, as we've said many times in this program, not connected with the UW Richland site there, and they proceed. Things going on, and they have a new director as well.
Yeah, and that's two great points, Phil. First of all, congratulations, Mr. Mike Hardy, a Richland Center native, Richland Center resident, who for the last several years, I don't know how long, more than 10 years, has been the parks director in Baraboo, Wisconsin, and is now the director of the Simon Center here in town. An opportunity he's earned. Good man, hard worker, good experience, should do very well in the role. And also, just to reassure the public, the Simon Center remains open. It is not and never was part of the campus despite its location. So the news and the announcement regarding the Richland campus does not affect Simons. It's there, it's open, it's going to be. Feel free to get out there, use the pool, lift weights, whatever you do. I think some people were confused on that because just on the physical location of the building. But Simons remains, and congratulations to the new director, Mr. Mike Hardy.
You bet. And the school referendum recently passed as well, the Richland Center High School referendum, and that might provide some opportunities for them, I think, in the future.
It might. Okay, so now at this point, that referendum that the school district was able to get passed did not include anything related to Simons. But yeah, I mean, if you just look at the physical location of the high school and you see a gymnasium sitting there on the campus grounds, for example, and right next to it is Simons with an indoor pool. Who knows? There may be some possibilities there. Don't know yet. Might be some possibilities there, though. And that referendum, man, if you don't think it's important to vote, look how close that was.
Yes.
Very, I mean, razor thin, a handful of votes. I mean, that passed, I don't remember the number, 10 votes, 12 votes?
I think when they canvassed, it was down to eight.
Eight votes.
Yeah.
Eight votes. And in all, wow, I mean, your voice matters, guys. Look at that. And here we are, the referendum passed, but I just thought I should mention that. Look how close that came. And that wasn't a handful of households. A lot of people were eligible to vote in that. And we came down to less than 10 that got that done. And that's fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of elections were close this year. And again, you know, we've got another one. Possible referendums coming up for some districts in August and different things. And then, of course, the big one in November as well. So it's a big year.
It is a big year, yeah. And in August, as you said, so the concept of referendums, particularly related to school districts, people need to just be used to that as part of the landscape. I think none of us like it, including the people at the school districts. I don't think they're a big fan, but that's the mechanism available to them, you know, to keep the buildings in shape and do all the things they need to do. And so you see, you know, so many schools doing this on a fairly consistent basis now. And I don't think that's going to end anytime soon. And you mentioned in August, and then, yeah, right, we're going to have a presidential election in November, and what a wild time. Mm-hmm. This is going to be one of the most interesting presidential elections. Well, probably the most interesting one in my lifetime.
Yeah.
To this point, yeah, it's going to be fascinating. So, yeah, a lot of work ahead that way, too.
Todd Coppernall, our guest in the Morning Show studios today from WRCO, and we'll have more coming up.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette from the Prescription Center. We want to thank all of our longtime friends who have put their trust in us to manage their family's health. We want to thank our increasing number of new friends who have learned just how special we treat our friends. We do realize you can go anywhere or use mail order. We want you to choose us every day. We know copays are the same for any pharmacy in town. However, we feel we provide a superior value for your dollars. If you find our prices higher, we will match prices for all medications. We check to see if any of your prescriptions have dollar off coupons from the manufacturer. These coupons actually put money back in your pocket. If your current pharmacy does not do this, give us a call. We know your time is valuable. When you call ahead, your prescriptions are ready when you stop. I guarantee you will never wait in our drive-thru. Okay, we do not have a drive-thru. The Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
To thrive and live well, you need a trusted partner in health and care when you need it. Gunderson Basketball's growing family medicine team is here to offer both and welcomes new and existing patients at our Basketball, Fenimore, and Muscadet clinics. With extended hours and the convenience of same or next day appointments and online scheduling through MyChart, it's never been easier to prioritize your health and well-being. Gunderson Basketball, bringing love plus medicine to you.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Todd Coppernall, our guest in the studio. He is the mayor of City of Richland Center. As we talk about some upcoming things going on in the city, the month of May really kind of starts it rolling here for all the activities around the city, doesn't it, Todd?
It does. You know, it's so weather dependent. We live in a part of the country where you really do get all four seasons, right? So here we go. We're into spring, and you see the highs in the 60s and the 70s pretty much every day now. And boy, we love that. And in just a few weeks, you know what's going to happen. You're going to run the heat till 10 in the morning and turn the AC on at 3 p.m. You know, that's Wisconsin tradition, right? But this is what we wait for and what we all want so much, so we can get outside and relax and enjoy. And one really cool thing about living in Richland Center in Richland County is there are so many things you can do. We've got so many bike trails and hiking trails. We've got the aquatic center. We've got the ability to drive ATVs pretty much everywhere now. And so many festivals. There's a wine walk coming up. In June, we'll have the rodeo, the state high school rodeo again, and on and on and on. The fireworks at the end of June, which the city council did approve an increase in the budget there to try to, because of course costs are up like they were everywhere else, keep that fireworks show robust. That will happen. And I just like to remind everybody every year, for one thing, we'll be hiring and are hiring summer help in the parks, including lifeguards. Okay. And that's a spring tradition too. So anyone who knows someone or is interested will need lifeguards at the aquatic center. contact Jody Meaden at the Parks office. You can call down or just walk in. It's right in the community center is the Parks office. That's always needed every spring, and we've been fortunate every year that there have been a lot of people with interest who stepped up and helped us keep things rolling. And I just remind everyone, when you're out, whatever you're doing, you're on a softball team, you got a family reunion, you're biking down the trail, you're kayaking the Pine, whatever you do, let's be safe, okay? The summer activities are the best. Getting out, having fun, and making memories, it's a great part of living out here. Just please be safe, and let's enjoy the summer. And I will, and I know you will. I mean, I look forward to this. This is my favorite time of year, that spring green that we just talked mm-hmm. about, that launch to the green colors and that return of life and the warmer weather. And we're here now. And I just want everybody to get out, enjoy what we've got, and please just have a safe, enjoyable summertime.
I think about lifeguards, and I think those that have worked with Park and Rec through the years, and how many first jobs that has given to community residents.
You know, it has, and on that, I'm glad you said that. So lifeguards, baseball umpires, so many things, just cutting the grass, all the things that you do. There's a gentleman who's from here. He is 4 years older than me, which makes him almost 40.
Yeah.
Mr. Greg Wells. Who was class of 81, I believe, here in Richland Center, was on a lot of sports teams and umpired baseball at the park as his summer job. And I heard from him Friday. I hadn't heard Greg's voice since the 80s. He's retired from the school district in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. He's now a brewmaster making craft brew, and he was telling me he was being paid to drink beer. And I said, and he said, I should have thought of that when I was 22. Right? But he called me about something going on in town. And what happened, but the story, why he called me, and then immediately to when I was a kid playing baseball and he was umpiring. Specifically, I told him he was out of his mind, calling me out at third base on the diamond down by what was then the A&W. And you know what he said? He laughed and laughed. He goes, "You're the second guy in a week, and I haven't been an umpire in 45 years. He goes, "I must have been terrible at it." So there he is. He was a school principal for I think 28 years, he said. Long career in education, onto a second career, an accomplished human being who is now must be 61-ish. And what are we talking about? But his job as an umpire in 1980 and calling me out at third base. And I'm going to tell the world the truth that I didn't share with him. I was out by 2 feet, Phil. But the point was, isn't that great? Mm-hmm. He hasn't lived here in a long, long time in his case. It just, his professional career took him somewhere else. But, that was great. We're talking about that stuff like it was yesterday. And that's what he did as a teenager here. And those things will happen in the lives of the young people working for us now too. So again, thanks for saying that, Phil. And to the young people that have interest, get a hold of Jody down at Parks.
Indeed. There's going to be a little bit of street construction. I know the 8th Street project is coming up. They should be starting that any day.
Any day, yes. It'll be the third phase of three phases. We did 7th Street 2 years ago. We did the top of Cedar Street and 8th Street last year. And it isn't just the pavement. The water mains up there were in terrible shape. There were never storm sewers up there, and there should have been from day one. Just if you think of how steep those hills are and how much water is running down, that was constantly damaging the pavement up there. So that's what we did. New pavement, curb and gutter, sewer laterals, storm sewers, all of it. And phase three, which we did it in 3 years to make it affordable. We didn't have to raise taxes to do any of this. And so it took 3 years instead of one, but we got there. And in just a few days here, they'll be starting work on 8th Street up there. So there will be change to traffic patterns up there, of course, when the road is torn up. And related to that, this year's Memorial Day observance, the ceremony we typically have in the cemetery, will not be held in the cemetery because 8th Street will be torn up. So it will be held at the Woodman Veterans Pavilion in Kroska Park, the pavilion. So if you think about over in the area where the Rotary Lights are held, that's where this year's Memorial Day observance will take place. And I am told that Mr. Bo Henricks from WRCO will serve as the MC.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you roll with the flow, and, it's not the traditional thing, but it sounds like it'll work out pretty well.
It will work out very well. If you remember that the pavilion actually is a veterans pavilion, I think it's a very appropriate spot to hold this. And then, of course, the water service we held, if they would choose to, there's the walking bridges right there. So it's actually a pretty good location. Okay, now we prefer the tradition and the custom. of honoring the dead at the cemetery, and we will again next year. But this was just a workaround to deal with road construction, and fortunately for us, we had a very appropriate venue right in the park.
Mm-hmm. Now, the project there, does that affect like the upcoming rodeo and different things like that as people look to get to the fairgrounds?
Yeah, right. Good point. So that's a real good point. So when you head out to events at the fairgrounds this year, I would recommend probably taking 80 up and either taking Industrial Drive across or going past where Bowen's Mill was up there and coming in on AA. Just go that way. It's not that far out of your way. Just a couple minutes. Head up that way and cut across the AA to the fairgrounds because 8th Street is going to be torn up for a while. Mm-hmm. By the time we get to the county fair and so forth, that shouldn't be an issue. But, early in the summer, it certainly will be. And there's no way they'll be done in advance of that rodeo. So if you head out to any event, at least in the next couple of months, I would head out 80 and hit AA out there or cut across Industrial Drive.
Rodeo is a little bit earlier this year. I believe it's 10, 11, and 12, somewhere in that area.
That's right. Just a few days, a little bit earlier. Great event. I've gone the last few years, and it's really been fun. Those kids work so hard. And what I don't think people realize is the level of commitment the entire family makes. That really is a family event. It costs a good bit of money to participate in that. There's travel. It's a lot of work. And when you go to that and you sit in those bleachers and you see how many families, it's not just mom and dad. You might have the aunts, uncles, grandparents, cousins. There's people there representing those young athletes that are out there working so hard. And I just admire, I'll say it this way, the courage, right? You're out there in front of everybody. It's not a team sport. if you're out there participating, it's you. Maybe you and a horse, whatever. And everybody in those bleachers is watching you. And these are kids, guys. These are still young minds learning a lot of things at that event. Competition, yes, but some of them win and that's great, but most don't. And they're learning life lessons right there. I mean, I really admire that. To be, 14, 15, and do that in front of how many people and do well or not do well and then live with what comes in front of the world, that takes a lot of energy and conviction and courage. And these kids are growing up in front of our eyes at that event.
I always say that they're the real athletes. I mean, you talk about some of those events using every single muscle in your body.
They really do. Watch the effort. I hope more people from town go. We get local people there, but most of the people I've met at the event haven't been from here. They've been family members of the participants. Go. If you live here, go there and watch this thing, and you'll see what I mean. And what Phil just said is you're right. Boy, these kids are working all the time. And just the emotional investment coming from mom and dad, grandpa, grandma, siblings, it's really touching to watch. And it's a fun event. That's in June, the state high school rodeo finals here at our fairgrounds. And in the meantime, we'll get through the month of May. Weather keeps getting better. We get to high school graduations, Memorial Day, and on to the summer.
And then you mentioned the end of the month. Fireworks will be the last Saturday in June.
Right.
Calendar in front of me, but I believe there'll be some music and fireworks and all kinds of stuff.
Be a good time.
Yep.
It always is with an excellent fireworks display. I've been to those in many communities, and most communities our size simply can't match what we do. It's a compliment to a lot of people in our parks department, on our park board, and on down the list that do a great job, and certainly the pyrotechnicians who put on the show. And we're committed to maintaining that for our people for the foreseeable future.
Mick Cosgrove have the Stones booked for that show or not?
No, that hurts a little, Phil. Yeah, I saw a commercial. The Rolling Stones are on tour. That happens to be my favorite band of all time. And most of their biggest hits predate me, not all of them, but it doesn't matter. I love their music and I always will. But they're 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
80 years old. I say that and I go, wow. And then I see a TV ad, Rolling Stones on tour, presented by AARP. And I picture maybe the biggest rebels of the classic rock era. When you think of Mick Jagger and Keith Richards,
oh, sure.
You're seeing them as young men partying and all the trouble they got in all over everywhere they went. And that whole thing. And now they're on tour presented by AARP. And it's a heck of a reminder that it really is 2024.
Unbelievable. Someone shared a picture the other day of Mick Jagger in 1989 and then and one from 2024, you really couldn't tell the difference. It's pretty amazing at 81 that the guy is still ageless.
I have no idea how that guy does what he does. I've seen them live a handful of times, dating back to 1989, which was the first song at Alpine Valley in 89. And he never stops moving. And that show then was almost 3 hours long, and I'm sure they're still doing 2 hours now. And there are clips up on YouTube already from the first few. And he never stops. I don't know how you do that. I mean, I don't know how you do. I see men half his age on stage sitting on stools playing a guitar and singing, and that guy's all over the stage now. I don't, and so fit. And you go, man, how did you do that?
right. And same with Paul McCartney. I saw him some years ago, too. And, you know, he played for 2.5-3 hours and took one drink of water. You know, I don't think he ever stopped. And, you know, I'm just amazed.
He actually just did a brief appearance at an Eagles concert.
Yes.
And they performed the song Let It Be, Paul McCartney and the Eagles. And the only thing you can know is you can hear the age in the vocals.
Yes.
His voice, he's got to be 80.
He's 80, yeah.
And you could hear that, but he still could hit the notes, and he could still play it perfectly. And I admire that, too, up there on stage at that point. And still talented, right? He was born with it, but he obviously kept it up, kept the work in. And it's fun to see that. And it's inspiring, right? I'll be 57 in July, and I see 80-year-olds on tour. Mm-hmm. And I think, okay, I'm all right.
Any big concert plans this year then, or not?
Just one. And I am taking Kim to see the Rolling Stones.
Oh, you are? Yeah, all right.
In Chicago.
It's not a secret then.
Nope, she knows.
Okay.
I told her. And the reason that happened, I've seen them a few times, and like I just told everybody, that's my favorite band. Well, she was not really into the Stones, not much, until we got together. And it's funny, I've been trying to educate her, and she can't understand a word Mick Jagger says. And she's not alone. So I've been translating. I'll just say, honey, don't worry, I speak Stone. And I'll tell her the lyrics to a song, and she'll just look at me and go, how did you learn that? I'll tell you how I learned it. It was called Hit Parader.
Oh,
back
yeah.
in those magazines, back in the day.
We would go to the book nook, across the road here.
Yeah.
And get the Hit Parader that listed all the lyrics.
And you'd be reading the lyrics to whatever, Start Me Up or whatever Stone song. It wasn't just them. And after I read lyrics to a couple of their songs, I actually did figure out how to understand Mick Jagger. And so anyway, Kim said to me, I think I'd like to see them, because she never did. And let's be really honest, they're 80. What's the likelihood of another shot at this?
Yeah, you know, you never know.
So I said, gosh, you could talk me into that. And so we'll be doing that. That'll, I'm sure, be the only one with our schedules and everything. But concerts, I've always enjoyed since I was a teenager, going to shows all over the place. I've been to a lot of them. And Kim, too. And we really do like that. So last summer was the Doobie Brothers.
Oh,
When in our time together, we saw Tom Petty shortly before his demise, which surprised us. John Fogerty in Milwaukee. He was phenomenal. I don't know that any of these performers have been better than he was. He was just phenomenal. It's fun because his lead guitar player now is his kid.
Yeah. He has two sons in the band.
Yeah, right. So, and you know, that era, which is now known as classic rock, is our sound, and we're running out of time. If you're going to go see these people on tour, you better get there. And so we've been going to pretty much one a year, with the exception of the COVID summer when you couldn't do that. And this year it's the Rolling Stones, of all things. I thought I was done.
One more.
Yeah.
A lot of people talk to me, too, about, we'd like to see a Star-Spangled-like thing come back.
Well, so would I.
You know, but you talk about how cost prohibitive it has gotten to be, you know, because I was around when it started. I remember in the planning stages, and you know, you had acts that were $5,000 was, you know, you could get a pretty good act.
Yeah.
Now you'd be lucky if you could get a good regional band.
I'll share something on that, Phil. Not only would I like to see a music festival back in town, I started the work to try to do that, to try to help do that. It'll be 2 years in September. I went to a music festival in Minnesota. I actually have a personal friend who does that for a living, puts those on. And I met him 15, 16 years ago in a different industry we were both working in at the time. And he retired from what he was doing and launched that business, and he runs multiple music festivals. And he took me backstage. I was meeting Quiet Riot, Stephen Piercy from Rat, the guys in Jackal. It was music like that. And it's a little weird when you watch 65-year-old Kip Winger singing She's Only 17.
Yeah, yeah.
Kip, hold on a minute. But anyway, the point wasn't the music. It was he was showing me how they do those events, the venue it takes, and what we really got into, not just the cost of the entertainment, which is very significant, but the demands in the contracts for what the venue must be, what the stage has to be, what the backstage has to be like, the security you have to provide. And he showed me simple little things. This venue is a permanent venue. It's not one where they set the stage up and tear it down. It took place at a casino in Hinckley, Minnesota that has a music venue on the grounds because a concert makes that casino unbelievable money when everybody stays on the grounds. Okay, anyway, when you went backstage, he showed me something simple. It was blacktop, where the on the way to and from the dressing rooms and where entertainers are when they're waiting their turn to go on stage. And he said, most of them, a simple little thing, are gravel or dirt. Now it's mud. They hate that. And he said, a lot of entertainers will skip the venue. They just won't come. And he started getting into real details like that. It just got more sophisticated, I guess is the best way to say it. I don't think it's impossible. I won't tell anybody it can't ever happen here again. I don't believe that it can't happen here again. I do think if it does happen here again, it will be very different than what they remember Star Spangled to be. I don't think it could be 3 days. That's just too much money now. But could you do a day or two, maybe? Or even just two or three acts on an evening, mm-hmm. some kind of event? I still think we could do that. That would take a lot of people helping, and that gets to the next. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It takes dozens of people to put on an event like that. I would love it. I started to work on it when I realized how big the scope of the project was and that we didn't have and still don't, I guess I'll call it the infrastructure, that group of people to do the work and put it together and see it through. I won't say it's off the table. I just had to put it on hold, but I have a bunch of the information. Okay. And that's because I know a lot of people here would love to see it. I would love to see it mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And they had a lot of things going for them. And I said, as I mentioned, in the early days, you could get some regional and maybe corporate sponsors that would help pay for the group before they even sold a first ticket, you know. And as they got more expensive, when all of it is reliant on selling the tickets, and then you have a bad year where maybe you get rain and things like that, weather dependent.
Well, and I can tell you one thing I learned in the first 2 minutes, you can't pull this off without sponsorships. You
right.
have to have them.
Yep.
You won't cover costs
with tickets.
You have to have the sponsorships, and that's where the whole the work really begins, because what you're doing is recruiting sponsors and matching them up to the entertainment, and then a lot of contracts. So there's more, maybe more festivals than there once were. So if they're going to play in Kadat, they're going to play Prairie du Chien or wherever else it is, perhaps their contract says they got to be so many miles away, they can't come here. There's more complexities to it than most people realize, but I don't think it's impossible by any stretch. I just don't think it would be what people learned, became familiar with Star Spangled. But maybe we could trim it back and get something in here. And I do have a resource. I really do. I've got a close friend who does this all. I think he's got 5 now events. They're all over in Minnesota, but who cares? I've got a mentor. I just need people and then a plan. And to put it together, I would say this. Let's say we started tomorrow. We would be looking at next summer's event. Because, of course, you're going nowhere without lining up the talent. And I just said, you're not going anywhere without the sponsors, too. So that all starts right now to line up the budgets and the travel schedules and everything for next year. I'm willing to be part of a project like that. And I think there are others who would, too. The question is, can we find enough people with the right expertise to get sponsorships, to get entertainment, to be part of the day? You can't just say I helped in August and it's next June. It takes people. And really, the key consideration, I'll give you a small detail that's actually a very big deal. He taught me this. He took me backstage, and behind the curtain, behind a curtain on the side, there was every drum set for every band. So all the bass drums have the band name on it. And I'm looking at the Quiet Riot drum set. And I'm going, okay. And next to this one and this one and this one. So all of the drum kits are on wheels, waiting their turn for when that band performs to wheel the kit off stage and wheel their kit on stage. And there is a professional Backstage Group. There's a company that does this because the first year this gentleman did his show, he hired friends. He was from a small town and they wanted to help and he thought, great. But none of them were musicians. So the stage manager, it happened to be for REO Speedwagon, said, hand me a, and he named some kind of instrument and none of them knew what it was. They're not musicians. So they were looking back at him and he got upset. Like, what kind of show are you running here? And it, well, it was a learning curve. It was the first year. They learned from that. But what happens in that industry that I learned at that show, you do that to the wrong stage manager and that headliner will never come back to your venue. That's one thing, but he knows everybody else in the industry too. And what if he starts telling them you don't know what you're doing? So little details like that, a professional stage crew, the precision with which there's a rack. I'm looking at 40 guitars hanging on a rack and whatever, 8 drum kits. And when the band on stage is done, 1, 2, 3, go. Off, on, everything in place, plugged in, hooked up, right in the right spot, because these guys are professionals. And that's where that industry went. That's where those festivals have gone. And so you think about my son, John, at least 5 years, at least the last 5 years at Star Spangled, we were living in Wanakee, but he came out here and worked on the stage crew. He's a huge country music fan. He loved it. I don't even know if you could do that again. Maybe you could, but that industry got more sophisticated is kind of the point. So
yeah, we had lots of volunteers and lots of kids that helped as well.
Yeah,
and they may have cut them a little slack knowing they were volunteers and they were kids learning and things like that. But yeah, that has changed.
It has changed, and that's because, let's be honest, the money got bigger. That's why the acts cost more money, all of that. And when it got, I guess I would put it this way, more corporate, then you have more rules and all of that. It's just a different thing than when Star Spangled was a new idea. It was great for Richland Center. I'm sorry it's gone. We might be able to bring a music event back here.
Yeah, it's been 12 years.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. Well, if anybody has any questions about anything we've talked about on the program today, how's the best way to contact you, Todd?
It's easy to reach me. All my contact information is on the city website, and the cell phone that the city got me for city business is always in my right front pocket. 608-604-5399.
Sounds good. Mayor Todd Copperdall joining us on the morning show. We'll talk to you next month.
Phil, thanks for having me on.
Don't miss the Muscadet Morel Mushroom Festival, Friday, May 17th, and Saturday, May 18th. On Saturday, join Mark Cupp, Executive Director of the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway Board, as he talks about the Mounds of Muscadet. Mark will describe the ancient earthworks built 1,000 years ago on the landscape of the Lower Wisconsin River Valley. There will be aerial photographs, maps, and diagrams. Join him at the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway Board Office 202 North Wisconsin Avenue at 9 a.m. Thank you, Muscadet Chamber of Commerce, Meyer Construction, and Delta 3 Engineering for being proud sponsors of the festival.
Hi, this is Andrea with Court & Main Furniture & Mattress. Court & Main, along with J.J. Walsh Jewelers, is seeking nominations for honoring outstanding moms in our community. We're searching for those ordinary moms doing extraordinary things and invite anyone to nominate that inspirational mother in their life. We all know at least one incredible mother who balances it all. A social life, a spiritual life, her job, her family, and her bank accounts. But what's even more impressive is that she manages to do all of this while also making time to volunteer or lead organizations that help others. These women are an inspiration, and Court & Main and J.J. Walsh wishes to recognize and honor them for what they have achieved. If you'd like to honor a mom or a mother-like figure, send to us via Facebook, Instagram, or email, or call 647-8713. By Wednesday, May 8th at 8 p.m. We want you to share your love and appreciation for the person you're nominating.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hillsboro Equipment sells outdoor power equipment, services outdoor power equipment, and takes care of the people who depend on their outdoor power equipment. With an 11,000 square foot shop, over $1 million in parts, and multiple trained technicians, Hillsboro Equipment will get you tuned up and ready to go. From the combines in the field to the lawnmower and chainsaw in your yard, they service it all, any make, any model. See the service experts at Hillsboro Equipment or call 489-2275.
Hi, Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home. Want to improve your sleep quality? Maybe a mattress with a built-in cooling cover is just what you need from American Bedding that is made right here in Wisconsin. Stop down to our newly remodeled showroom and see why we have quickly become Spring Green's largest mattress dealer. With over a dozen mattresses on display, our expert staff will assist you in finding the perfect mattress to give you a quality night's sleep. Located on Highway 14 next to the Ring Brothers.
With great savings comes great service. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm. Like most people, you're looking for great rates on your car insurance, and we're here to help. Chances are you may be eligible for one or more.